Welcome to Sustainable Home Catalyst Episode 2. I'm your host, Ben Hildebrandt, and I'm here to help you learn how you can make your home more sustainable for you, your finances, and the environment. My goal is to help improve the quality and sustainability of new and existing homes in North America. In today's episode, I'm discussing what it means to have a durable home and why that is important. The show notes for this episode can be found at shcatalyst.com/002. Have you ever had an old junker car that you were always afraid of it breaking down? You didn't want to drive it too far. You just want to be close to home. You didn't want to get caught in another state or province and have to have expensive repairs. I remember my first car that I ever bought. I got it when I was 17 for $250. It was a 1981 Toyota Corolla sedan, 1.8 liter engine, standard transmission. It was already 20 years old when I bought it. And as soon as I started driving it, the starter went, which that was even more of a learning experience for me because I was also learning to drive a standard at the same time. And so every time it stalled, it was harder and harder to start. Needless to say, I had to fix the starter. And through the several years I had that car, I always had to do something, always had to fix something on it to keep it going, which I enjoyed. I really enjoyed tinkering on that car. But finally, after several years, it had enough of me and it got this crazy big electrical short that I could never quite find. And so I finally had to retire the car. When we own an older car, we know that many of the components are getting close to wearing out and repairs may be required frequently. That's something we anticipate. And the appeal of a new car is not only that it looks nice, it's a nice new paint job. Hopefully, well, when it's a brand new car, it's going to have no cracks or chips in the windshield at all. And it's going to require hopefully no repairs and just basic maintenance. And that's great. It's nice and easy, not much to worry about. We don't have to worry about some large repairs that might just be around the corner that we don't know. And we have the same desire for our homes too. We want a house to be newer. We want it to look nice and not run down. And we don't want to have to do tons and tons of work on the home all the time. We just want to buy our home, move in, and enjoy it. We don't want to have to spend every evening and weekend fixing something, and also every spare dollar fixing something in our home. We just want everything to work and also to not leak. We don't want to have these big issues that are causing more and more damage if we don't fix it, such as a leaky roof that's quite old and well past its life. So newer homes often require little to no repair. Generally, they also look better unless an old nostalgic type home is something that you're going for a look, and you can't quite get that look in a new home. It just doesn't work. But old homes can look great too, and they can also require very few repairs. But to get a home in that condition, you have to work at it, and you need to stay ahead of the game. This takes repairing and maintaining items within your home before they wear out beyond repair. And it requires an understanding of your home and how it works and all the materials within your home. There are many components in a home that will wear out and require replacement eventually. Maintaining them can extend their lives considerably, but their days are still numbered. Failing to replace old materials once they've worn out or components can result in other issues as well within your home. For example, old windows or a roof or deteriorating siding can result in water leaks into the wall structure of your home and thus requires structural repairs if you don't correct those issues right away. Most people know that their home will require work to maintain, but they may not realize exactly how much work, or they might not know enough about their home and what to do to maintain it, to stay ahead of that maintenance curve, to be able to stay in the zone of maintaining and not sliding into the zone of catching up and doing repairs and replacements due to items failing because they weren't properly maintained to begin with. So whether your home is new or old, there's always going to be some maintenance that's going to be required, and it's important for you to plan for it and manage it properly. Now, it's great to maintain your home and keep it in as good condition as long as you can, and that's a large part of what durability is. Durability is the ability to withstand wear or damage, and having a more durable home means that the materials and systems in your home are designed to require less maintenance and last longer before replacement. And less maintenance means less time, money, and stress on your part. So when we keep a home well maintained, it can increase the durability of it. It requires less maintenance moving forward if we stay on top of that maintenance and less repair. And another part of durability is that your home is constructed to perform properly. Your home can be made of the best materials, but if it isn't constructed and detailed properly, having the best materials doesn't make it much better than an old shack. Your home must be structurally safe, and it also must be designed to manage the flow of water, air, vapor, and heat between the indoors and outdoors. For example, you don't want much flow between the indoors and outdoors. You want it to stop, and you want the water and everything else to stay outside, and you want your nice conditioned air to stay inside. When you have airflow and water vapor and heat flow between the indoors and outdoors, it can create a lot of problems. So the main thing to keep in mind is that your home has to be designed to keep the indoors and the outdoors separate. A failure of your home to properly manage water and airflow can lead to major problems, including water damage and mold. And poor management of heat flow mainly leads to high heating and cooling bills and can also lead to condensation-related moisture issues, particularly in the wintertime. So what are some of the less or more durable materials and systems in your home? And what is there for you to do? What are you able to do to make what you have more durable? When it comes to the existing materials and systems in your home, as I mentioned earlier, maintenance is key. You need to have a full understanding of what's in your home and plan for what maintenance is required. You got to stay ahead of that curve. Now, with new homes, you have the ability to ensure your home is constructed with longer-lasting products that require less maintenance and also will last much longer than other materials. So I want to spend a few minutes right now discussing some basic materials and systems in your home and discuss durability as it relates to them, some things to keep in mind in maintaining those products or knowing how durable they are. The first I want to talk about is wood. Wood is something that's very prevalent around the world, and it can last a very long time if it is well maintained. But if wood is not well maintained and moisture is allowed to frequently soak into it, and particularly if moisture is left in it for long periods of time, it can start to weather, degrade, and rot. Particularly on the exterior of a home, wood often will require repainting every 3 to 5 years. Sometimes you might be lucky for the paint to last a bit longer. Stains do last a bit longer than paint because stains soak right into the wood itself. But if that paint or stain degrades and isn't touched up and recoated, water can get into that wood. It will begin to weather and eventually it will rot. So it's very important with wood to keep it well coated and well protected from the weather and from moisture. When wood's on the interior of your home, unless it's in the bathroom, the finishes are a lot longer lasting and a lot more forgiving. Some components, if it's not a wearing surface that always has foot traffic on it or something, or hands running across it all the time, a stain or a varnish or a paint on wood in the inside of your home can last a very long time. But on the exterior, wood requires a lot of work and attention if you want it to last. The next item I want to talk about is vinyl or PVC siding. This is something that's very prevalent around North America, and there's a good reason for it too. I think it is probably the cheapest cladding product that is going to last. Vinyl siding can last over 30 years, and it's very cheap, and the color is part of the vinyl itself, so it's never going to wear off or require repainting. But the one thing to keep in mind, particularly with older vinyl siding, is that the dark colors will fade over time. In recent years, the manufacturers have developed better dyes that can withstand the sun better over time, so there's not going to be as much fading. But know that if you do have a really dark or bold color of siding, there is a chance of some fading over time. And if it's an older siding, it's more likely to have more fading. There's one project I've worked on that has like a deep red siding, and at some locations on the buildings, particularly on the south, that deep red siding is a light brown due to the fading. So it's changed a lot. But as I said, they are getting better with that, but something to keep in mind. So another thing about vinyl siding is that it becomes more and more brittle as it gets older, and it also can be very brittle in the wintertime. So that's of concern if the vinyl siding is an area where it could sustain impact damage, either from kids playing sports in the yard or if you're in an area that's susceptible to hail, like Calgary, where I'm at. The nice thing is, though, we do have home insurance, so for some people, that just means you get some new siding every several years when the good hailstorm rolls through. But there is an alternative. There is an alternate to vinyl siding that works very well, and that is cementitious siding. So cementitious siding is a cement-based product, and it's manufactured into boards. So it's cement and fibers with a paint coating on the face of it, and it's a very durable product. It's similar in appearance to wood siding, really the older wood siding. One of the main manufacturers of cementitious siding is James Hardie, and they offer a 30-year warranty on their siding, and that includes against hail damage as well. It's a very durable product, and it's not likely to sustain any damage, and it is very color fast as well. So that's something to keep in mind. If you have vinyl siding on your home, or you're looking at a home or building a home that you're considering vinyl siding, just know those things about it. Know that it is cheap and it can last a long time, but I think the main concern about vinyl siding is that it can become brittle over time, and it is subject to hail damage. And the alternate is a cementitious siding, which they come in at probably, off the top of my head, I think 2 or 3 times the price just for the product cost compared to a vinyl siding, but they are very durable and they do last a long time. And in my opinion, they look very nice and very elegant. There are many different options for what you can get for cementitious siding. Now, when it comes to windows and doors, there are many different materials that are used in North America that you'll see. In the past couple of decades, vinyl windows have become very prevalent, and they're also the cheapest window that you can get right now, cost-wise, but they're also a very decent window. I've worked a lot with vinyl windows, and they basically came out in the early 90s, so right now we're coming to the time where we can really see how long vinyl windows are going to last. Other windows that are out there, manufactured fiberglass windows, is a bit of a newer product on the market, but I think it's an amazing product. It's very durable, and the next product is the next type of windows are metal windows. And we have these same products for doors as well. Doors can be made of vinyl, fiberglass, or metal as well. Vinyl, similar to the siding, the color is right in the vinyl. And when it comes to fiberglass or metal windows and doors, those have coatings on them, which have the finish, whether it be a solid paint, or you can often get a wood grain look finish on those. But manufacturers have also been able to develop very durable finishes for these windows and doors. So with vinyl, fiberglass, or metal windows, you're not really going to have to worry much about their finish. When it comes to wood windows, as we discussed wood above, that finish needs to be maintained in order to maximize the life of the window. If you have a window that opens, then you're also going to have to worry about seals and hardware. So the seals are those components that will prevent water from getting in between the frame of the window and the sash of the window, which is the part that opens and closes. So we have those seals and also the hardware, which is the locking mechanisms or the hinges and stuff. Those can wear over time, and you need to pay attention to those and do some cleaning or maintaining, depending on what materials are used in the seals and the hardware. There are different things that might be required. And if there's hinges, lubrication is something that's good to worry about. And also if it's a rubber-based seal, sometimes you can also lubricate those seals and extend their life a bit. Generally, the more you pay for a window or door, the higher quality the seals and hardware are going to be and the longer they will last. So when you're looking at windows or doors, particularly if you're replacing your windows or doors, or if you're looking at building a new house, when you're looking at the different brands and companies, pay attention to the hardware and what the manufacturer says about the hardware and its durability and what maintenance and lubrication, cleaning, or whatever might be required. Next, I want to talk about roofs. There are many different roof styles in North America and many different products used. most prevalently, we just have to divide things up simply. We have pitched roofs with a slope on it, and we have roofs that are essentially flat with very little slope or no slope on them. Whatever type of roof or roof materials are used, one thing that's kind of general across the board is that it's a good idea to have a professional roofer come and inspect your roof every 5 or so years, and they can look for any areas of failing sealant or localized spots of the roofing that might be damaged or failing, and they can repair those little areas. And I think that's a very important thing to extend the life of your roof, is to have that regular inspection and maintenance completed to prevent any large issues with your roof. The most common roofing materials used in North America, and also some of the cheapest materials, are asphalt shingles. Now, these also have the shortest lifespan, one of the shortest lifespans of roofing materials. Usually they last only 10 to 20 years. Now, if you have purchased or looked into purchasing shingles in recent years, you may have noticed that the manufacturers offer 25 or 35 year warranties, or sometimes longer. But keep in mind, those are all prorated warranties, and they're not usually a good way of gauging the life of your shingles. Very rarely will you get much more than 10 to 20 years. If you get the highest quality shingles out there, you might be looking at 30 years, if you're lucky, maybe 35 years. And it's also good to take into account that the south-facing slopes of your roof are going to wear out considerably faster due to the rest of your roof, due to the extra sun that the shingles there are exposed to. So the asphalt shingles are one of the cheapest products out there when it comes to roofing, cost-wise, and they are durability-wise also one of the cheapest. Wood shingles are another roofing material that is very common in North America, and not so much in recent years, though. Wood shingle roofs are another lower cost option, but they require a high level of maintenance. They need to be reviewed by a professional every few years, and any individual damaged shingles replaced. And that's the best thing to do to ensure that your wood shingle roof will last as long as possible. One good point about wood shingles is they help allow your attic to breathe a bit more, or your roof system to breathe a bit more, because that moisture and vapor can travel through the wood, whereas that's not the case with asphalt shingles. There's no moisture flow through the asphalt shingles themselves. There have been homes that have had wood shingles removed and asphalt shingles installed, and then in the next winter, they have issues with staining on the ceiling below the attic, or sometimes even dripping. Now, this is because they have issues with moisture getting from their home up into their attic space. And when they had those wood shingles installed, the moisture was still able to exit through the vents in the roof and also a bit through the shingles as well. But as soon as they switched those wood shingles for asphalt shingles, they lost that breathability of the roof, and that previously masked moisture issue within their attic was no longer masked. I know of a contractor that was involved in replacing the wood shingles with asphalt shingles, and he was left in the difficult spot of having to deal with those moisture issues, which the owner thought was due to a roof leak, but it was indeed due to moisture issues within the attic that were previously masked. So another roofing material that isn't so common, but I think it's one of the best options, but it is considerably more expensive, is a metal roof. There are many different types of metal roofs out there, different metal roofing materials, and they are much more expensive than shingles, and they're most often used on slope roofs as well. And they come with up to 40-year manufacturer warranties, and these roofs can last 40 to 60 years. And the failure typically comes when the finish ages and breaks down, the finish of the metal, and then that leads to corrosion of the metal that makes up the panels. Now, these only require maintenance on any areas of exposed sealant, so that depends on the specific system that might be installed. And in my opinion, the metal roofs are one of the best choices for a durable roofing product. And keep in mind too, though, if you use thinner metal on the roofs, those are a bit more susceptible to hail damage. But if you get a heavier gauge or thicker metal, that's a very durable system, not susceptible to denting or damage from hail or other impacts. And it's a very good system. Now, many metal roofs may be installed as the only barrier against water entry, meaning it's going to be that metal roof system and then the wood structure of your roof underneath. But I consider a very good idea is to install a waterproofing membrane. So waterproof the roof deck beneath your metal roofing. And that's going to be additional layer. It's going to be an extra cost during construction or during installation of the roof, but it's well worth that added investment because you have a full waterproof layer underneath the metal roof. And so you have two full layers of protection, and that waterproofing underneath is fully protected and it's essentially never going to wear out. Finally, I want to talk about tile or slate roofs. Now, these are often more expensive than even metal roofs, one of the most expensive roof options out there. Now, this type of roof is designed for the tiles to shed most of the water, but not all of it. So it should also consist of a waterproofing membrane, a waterproofing sheet on the roof deck underneath the tiles, and that will shed any water that gets beneath those tiles. Now, these have a lifespan of over 50 years, sometimes well over that. They kind of wear a bit over time due to just water running over them, and that's about it. Now, these do require regular maintenance and inspections to deal with any areas of sealants that need to be replaced when they wear out, and also there will be localized damaged tiles that would need to be replaced. So that's about it for exteriors I want to talk about, just basic windows, doors, siding, and roofs. I probably may have gotten a bit deep into the roofs there. Sorry. Next, I want to talk about furnaces and water heaters. Now, like many components within your home, when it comes to furnaces and water heaters, if you pay more, you get a better, longer-lasting product. And our newer systems have a lot of sensitive computer-controlled sensors, so it's very important that you do whatever maintenance is required by the manufacturers. If these sensors become dirty, they can stop working, or it can even ruin them and require replacement. And computer sensors, like sensors in your car, they're not cheap, so it's very important that you follow the manufacturer's maintenance requirements when it comes to furnaces and water heaters in your home. And with furnaces, it's very important to change the air filter as often as is recommended by the manufacturer to ensure you're keeping that air clean and preserve those sensitive components. Another interior component, probably one of the cheapest things that you have to worry about maintaining, is the lights, the light bulbs within your home. Now, we have different kinds of lights out there in the market right now. We have the old incandescent light bulbs, and we know those are essentially the least efficient that are out there right now. And then there's also the compact fluorescent light bulbs, or the CFLs. And now the newer ones that have been out for a decade, maybe two right now, are the LED bulbs. Now these are just a little bit better in energy efficiency than CFLs, but they last much longer. And also another advantage of the LED bulbs is they don't have mercury. So in my opinion, when the bulb burns out, you should install an LED bulb. But if you ask me about should I take out my bulbs and install new LEDs, if you have an incandescent bulb, yes. If you have a CFL, I really don't think the added energy savings are worth it. And also another thing to take into account is how many hours you use that light that you're considering replacing. If it's an incandescent light that you only use 2 hours out of the year, you're never going to get the value out of replacing that bulb before it wears out on its own. And another thing to take into consideration with all these new LED bulbs that are out there, when you go to the store, you can also get light fixtures where the LED bulb is part of the fixture itself. And these look really nice. There's some really nice fixtures out there. But the one thing that you want to consider is that at the end of the life of that LED bulb, which sometimes LED bulbs aren't perfect, every now and then you're going to have one that fails in maybe in just a year or two, it's not going to last the 10 to 15 years that some of these LED bulb manufacturers are guaranteeing their bulbs for. But if the LED bulb is part of the fixture itself, take into consideration that if that bulb goes, or when that bulb goes, when it burns out, you are going to have to replace that entire fixture. So in my opinion, I think it's a good idea to get fixtures that have just standard screw-in or clip-in bulbs that you can replace when they wear out, and you won't have to require, you won't need to replace the entire fixture. So I'm done my ramblings there about some different components within the home and some considerations in regards to durability of those. And I could go on a lot longer, and I've probably already put you to sleep, and I apologize. You can wake up now. So those are different materials, but what can you do to make your home more durable right now? Now, as I mentioned earlier, having a more durable home means that your home is constructed properly and the materials and systems in your home are designed to last longer before replacement and require less maintenance. Now, less maintenance means less time and money and also stress on your part, and staying on top of your home maintenance will prolong the life of the materials and systems of your home, regardless of what they are. Now, you wouldn't purposely neglect to change the oil on your car for 5 years, would you? We all know that if you neglect maintenance on your car, it's going to break down over time. With a home, that degradation from lack of maintenance isn't, that wearing out due to lack of maintenance isn't as noticeable, but it's still there, and it's very important that we keep on top of that maintenance. Now, if you're in the position of designing a new home or a major renovation, look for materials that have a factory-applied finish that's going to last much longer than something that is painted on site. And also verify what the manufacturer's maintenance requirements are before committing to certain materials. A material might look really nice and perfect for what you're looking for, but it's good to know what maintenance is going to be required as well. Because if you're going to have to wash it every summer so it doesn't have a bad buildup of gunk on it, or if you're going to have to do some other form of maintenance regularly, know that ahead of time. Do that research and see. And also speak with a contractor or another professional who has experience with the materials or products you're looking at, and find out its expected lifespan, not what the manufacturer says, but what the people who have dealt with it and worked with it have experienced. And also find out if there are any potential issues with it during the life of the product, or even during installation. If it's a product that's going to give your contractors a huge headaches and be an absolute pain to install, know that ahead of time. And maybe there might be something easier that's an equivalent product appearance-wise that they would recommend. And also, screen the contractors that you're planning to use to build your home or complete your renovation. Check their references and verify that they are reputable and they have experience with the type of work that you are asking them to do. I think it's very important to do that diligence up front. And if you want to see what happens when you don't do that, we can all just turn on HGTV and watch Mike Holmes or a variety of other shows on there of all the things that can go wrong when the people doing the work don't know what they are doing. Now, when you're trying to make your current home more durable, it's important to be familiar with your home and know the condition of the different materials and systems within your home. You need to know when your windows or your roof will need to be replaced in a few years, so you can budget for that and you can replace them before they fail, before you have any water entry or other moisture issues. And you can have that work done on your schedule and not on your window schedule or your roof schedule. Just plan ahead, know what's going to need to be done, and do your homework and get a replacement that is long lasting and low maintenance. Also, have your furnace and water heater cleaned annually and ensure you're replacing your furnace filters regularly. This will greatly extend the life of your furnace and water heater. Taking the time up front to ensure you're getting durable materials and systems for your home, and planning and budgeting for maintenance and replacements, it takes a bit of time now, but it will result in savings of time, money, and stress in the long run. And in that way, it will help make your home more sustainable to you and your finances. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and it has given you ideas as to how you can make your home more durable. If you have found this episode valuable, and if you know someone who you think would also benefit from it, please share it with them. The show notes can be found at shcatalyst.com/002. If you have any thoughts or questions, please leave a comment at the end of that post. Thank you so much for listening today, and until next time, go and do something to make your home a little more sustainable.